Thank you for listening. We would love for you to contribute to our mission by donating to the Kabi Padu Next Gen Fund. By contributing to this fund, you invest in the training and mobilizing of the next generation of changemakers. If you would like to learn more about The Path, visit www.thepath.church.
So let's talk about it. The birth of Jesus means salvation. The birth of Jesus is redemption, is reconciliation. And today we're going to be talking about freedom. The freedom that we have comes from when Jesus was born. And if you think about Joseph during that time, what did the birth of Jesus mean to him? Now, we know when he first started out, he wasn't really interested in getting into that arrangement. He was struggling. And then what he did, he was so smooth, he went back to what was familiar. He went back to the law and said, no, God, the law says it ain't supposed to happen like this. And we can do that sometimes, too. We go back to what's familiar to us. So Joseph, we know, eventually obeys God, and he is really inconvenienced for God. Brothers, how many of us packed up a newborn mom in the car with a screaming child, and you're trying to drive, and they even have no car back then. They're on a donkey going across the hillside. Baby hollering, screaming, peeing, pooping everywhere. It's a fiasco, man. But Joseph said, I'm going to do it because God put me in this situation. I believe that Joseph learned contentment in this season of his life. He had to trust the process of God. And therefore, he knew that God would put him in a situation that he could be content. A message from Jesus via one of his apostles, the apostle Paul, is very similar to what Joseph had to learn and deal with in Philippians chapter 4. It's the heart of true peace, true freedom, which is being content. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, we are very familiar with this passage. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He's finishing up his letter. And Paul visits the church in Philippi about 50 AD, doing his second missionary journey, along with Timothy. And so Philippi is cool because this is the first church plant on the European continent. And so Paul now writes this letter a decade later after he planted the church in about 60 AD. And Paul is communicating three very simple messages in this letter. The purpose of this letter is, one, he's just writing a thank you note to the church in Philippi because they gave him a gift. Number two, he is encouraging them to stay true to God. And number three, for them to remain joyful in all situations. That's his message of Philippians. Now, what's cool is the most quoted scriptures by Paul is found in this book. Actually, in this chapter. We all know verse 13. It's on every high school weight room rack. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Man, I can get a job through Christ that gives me strength. Man, it's like, nah, guys, that's not what the scripture is talking about. So side note, let's read our Bibles in context. And the next one is verse 19, which we'll talk about a little later. So Paul says that he was content. What does that word mean? Because a lot of the times in society, we can use that word content as, well, I'll just settle for less. Well, I don't really want to do a whole lot. No, I'll take the little piece. And there's a spirit of humility, don't get me wrong, but Paul is not talking about that type of being content. The definition that he's talking about is a state of happiness and satisfaction. Contentment is true peace of mind, and it has absolutely nothing to do with your external pleasures or circumstances. It has to do with your attitude. For your ability to look at your life and all its imperfections and be able to say, I'm good. Y'all know how we say that when somebody comes to you, just like Ray did. Hey, are you good with that decision? Yeah, bro, I'm good. We want to reframe that thought process. When we say I'm good here in this church, we're good, amen? So your heart of contentment, you don't get that just when you pop out of mom's belly. There's no genetic gene for contentment. You got to learn contentment. You got to be taught being content. This is something that you grow with as you walk with God. So Paul learned to say, I'm good. Say it with me. I'm good. And that's the title of the message. Now my kids, they always like to help me now that they're getting older with my messages. So Kennedy was like, hey, Dad, no. We don't say I'm good. We say I'm Gucci. I was like, what? I'm Gucci? That's something you put on your feet or your clothes. What are you talking about? I'm Gucci. But I said, you know what? I'm 41 years old. We're going to stick with I'm good. But to the young folks, if you're Gucci, amen, keep it Gucci. So when you look at Paul and Joseph, these dudes did not just come out being content. They had to learn this. And in order to learn contentment, you got to go through experiences with God. You got to go through things with God when God tells you no and you thought it was going to be yes. You also got to go through things with God where God says go and you say no. We got to experience those things with God and know that he is in control. It is not us. I love God's word. I love it. Look at this. God uses Paul, who is locked up under house arrest, chained to a desk with a Roman guard sitting at his side, to talk about being free and being content. How you gonna be content during that time of your life? God will use you in a time to be able to speak to other people when the opposite thing is going on in your life. You will be broke, and he'll say, go talk about finances and how to be more giving. You won't want to be bothered with people giving your heart. He'll say, you need to go sit down and study the Bible with somebody. God will use you when you don't want to be used. So when you look at Paul, Paul was probably more free, locked up, than many of us are sitting around able to walk and do what we want to do. Because we allow the devil to enslave our minds. So are you really free? Are you free? I think one of the issues that we have in this society, even in the religious world, is people's view on God. A lot of the times they think that God is some oppressive prison guard that's trying to prevent you from doing what you want to do. And when I study the Bible, and when I sit down with other men and women and couples and we study the Bible, the God that I see is a God of maximum freedom. His rules give us maximum freedom. The problem is our minds are still enslaved to what Satan wants us to think about. This is the same issue that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. It started with God and the Israelites. When he freed them out of Egypt, the very first thing that he needed to do once they got out is work on getting the Egypt out of them. It was very easy for God to physically free them. it was much harder for God to teach them how to live in freedom. And that is what our issue is today. We would rather turn back to things that are familiar to us than embrace something that is pure, that is righteous, and that lets us have freedom. The heart is we cannot go back to what's familiar. See, freedom for us, it's not familiar. We just don't we don't come into the world thinking like that. So what's familiar to us is our insatiable appetite to want more. What's familiar to us is we just want to get approval from other people. It's our familiar toxic emotional states that we turn to. That's the norm. That's what makes us feel comfortable. We have to turn to freedom. And like Sean said, true freedom. Not I get to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. But following God's word gives you freedom. Amen. So when you decide to make Jesus Lord of your life, that's when you experience true freedom. Amen? Amen. When you say, I make Jesus Lord, you repent, you get baptized, that is freedom in Christ. That's when the Egypt starts to get out of you. But physically, you got to get out of Egypt first. The process has to start there. So where are my free disciples at? Woo! Let's go. We got freedom up in here today. You hear me? So let's talk about how we get freedom. So everybody's very clear. We do not do a prayer where you just say, praise Jesus into your heart. We do not just sit around and take infants and dunk them in the water. None of those things are anywhere in the Bible. I'm going to get a little academic on y'all. I challenge you to look at how people become disciples of Jesus Christ in the scriptures. There is faith, there is repentance, and there is baptism. And you need to be an older person with a mind that understands what is going on and count the cost. Luke chapter 14 clearly talks about that. There are many people that are searching for God right now. There are people that are studying the Bible right now. One of the issues you may have is you think God is an oppressive God, that I'm not going to be able to live my best life now. Well, I got news for you. Your life probably ain't too hot right now. So you might want to embrace it and just follow the scriptures. And for us disciples that's been around a while, we've walked a minute, we've helped some people, we've served. Hey, we still got flesh too. We still can be in bondage too. I know I slide back to my bondage that I'm going to talk about later all the time. So we as disciples of Jesus Christ that's been walking for a hot minute, hey, you're not out of the hot pan neither. Because the fight is not over until God calls us home. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm good because I'm free. I'm good because I'm free. I'm hey, if y'all want it, that's on y'all. I'm Gucci. I like it too. What are you free from? You are free from the seeking approval of other people. You are free from the opinions of others and how they tend to judge you. You're free from just wanting more and more and more. That's where the freedom lies. That's what the birth of Jesus gives us, is the message of freedom. And the major point today is Jesus allows our heart to be free, which leads to contentment. Where are my brothers and sisters, if you like, grilling? Who are our grillers in the house? Okay, we got a couple grillers, okay. So, anybody know what this grill is, our grillers? Big Green Egg, all right. World Championship barbecuing happens on the Big Green Egg. So, when we were in Tallahassee, my wife got me a big green egg. She got the medium one, which is, so to your left, it's the one sitting in the front in between the two bigger ones. Amazing. Loved it. The meat came out just like nothing I ever used before, man. I used to use a Weber grill. Weber ain't got nothing on the big green egg. So then we moved to our new house. And, man, we had a nice summer kitchen and all this stuff. And Tasha allowed me to get an extra large big green egg. So that one would be on the right in the back there. And, man, boy, we would cook pork shoulder. We'll have several racks of ribs. Man, we'll have 50, 60, 70 people over, man. I'll be barbecuing up 4 o'clock in the morning till midnight. I'm going at it. So y'all may not know, but I am a master griller, okay? Okay? So I'm putting it out there right now. Now, we're going to talk about why y'all haven't seen it, right? We're going to talk about why you haven't seen it. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So when we moved, a part of selling the house was the buyer wanted to keep my grill. That's how I felt too, boy. Sad day in the Jackson household when the grill didn't come with me. So I said, okay, no worries. I know my wife gonna get me squared away when we get to Atlanta, you know. And so we get to Atlanta, and I'm like, man, bro, it's 4 months going by. We ain't got no grill yet. What's going on? And so Tasha said, okay, honey, I know grilling is something you like to do. I'm gonna get you squared away. Amen, sister. So she got me the one that's right in the center here in the front. The Mini Max. The Mini Max. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? I was cooking 20 burgers before. Now I can only cook 4 burgers. Man, I was salty. I had so much discontentment in my heart. Boy, and I said, you know what? Okay, you get me that little Peter Packer grill? I ain't grilling. How about that? I grilled on that thing 2 times in 4 years. So my heart was totally, totally discontent. Totally discontent. But you know what? We can be like that with God. We can sit there and say, God, oh, really? I didn't get what I want. I got something for you, Jack. I ain't serving no more. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to stop coming to D group. I'm going to stop coming to midweek. Sunday, you may catch me once a month. Reaching out to people and having people in my home, man, I ain't bothering them people no more. You ain't do what I wanted you to do. Are we content with where God has us right now? Or are we waiting for God to be Santa Claus and bring us what we want? Oh, we get fired up then. When things start going our way, we get very excited. But I will tell you, and we've talked about this before as the culture of our church, when things are not going well or whatever season you may be in, good, bad, or indifferent, we have to have active faith. And when I look at active faith, that means stewardship. What are you currently doing with what God has given you right now? Are you working the treasures that God has given you right now? You may be saying, well, you know, hey, I'm trying to get that promotion. I'm trying to start that business. But your attitude is one of, it's all about me. I don't want nobody to help me. I don't want no input. And so you're not even working good with what God has given you. Why is he going to give you any more? We have to understand that contentment starts with humility and obedience. Paul said in verse 12, he has learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul has the secret. In every situation, you may be thinking, no, he doesn't understand that I'm lonely at night. He doesn't understand that the bills can't get paid this month. Paul can't clearly understand that my wife and I, we don't get along anymore. Paul knew for every situation. So whether you are riding in a Honda Civic or riding in a Bugatti. Woo! Do we all know what a Bugatti is? All right, Bugatti is a million-dollar car that all of our rapper buddies are currently buying and riding in. All right? So whether Civic or Bugatti, Ferrari, Lamborghini, those are terms that may be more familiar. Now, come on. Whether you're in the corner office or you ain't got no office. I've been there before, Jack. That don't feel good. Maybe you didn't pass your test, or you just passed it by a little bit, or you crushed it. Paul knew the secret of being content. Maybe your Instagram followers are a little low nowadays. Paul knew the answer to being content. So who wants the secret of being content? Well, I guess I'm the only one that struggles with contentment in this audience. Jesus. Verse 13 says it's through Jesus' strength that allows us to be content, which means we must need to be weak. That's the secret. It's Jesus' strength that allows us to be content. Therefore, we need to be weak. So when we look at how do we do this practically, write this one down. I'm good because I savor every season. Paul said in verse 10, at last you renewed your concern for me. So in the Koine Greek, the original language of the New Testament, that word renew means flourish again. And so what the translators didn't really capture is there was a blossoming of a concern that the Philippians had for Paul, which to me makes sense. They got concerned about Paul again. Paul was in all kinds of seasons. He would step into a town, he'll hit the synagogue, he'll preach, he'll convert, and the next thing you know, he's getting rocks thrown at him. He would get out of that, preach a little bit more, next synagogue, he's shipwrecked. Boom, pop out of that season, we're going, we're helping Timothy, we're helping Barat, we're doing some great stuff. Now I'm in prison. So Paul was going through different seasons of life. And there is a season for everything. There's a season to be born. There's a season to die. There's a season for victory. There's a season for rebuilding. Now, I'm going to say sorry already to my Atlanta sport team fans. I'm sorry, brother. We are in a rebuilding season. And rebuilding means we suck. Give us some time. We're trying to work it out. One day. But hey, it's just a season. And you know, for us spiritually, we all need to experience rebuilding seasons. We all need to experience losing seasons and not necessarily look at it as a losing season, but look at it as a learning season. That's what Jesus wants us to do. The worst thing you can do is be in a losing or rebuilding season that God is trying to snatch you out of, but you won't let him take you out of it because you won't let nobody pour into you. You won't listen to the advice that you're given. You won't spend time in God in your Bible and read it. So we can get out of these seasons if we open up our relationship with God. When you look at the heart of Joseph, Joseph really accepted his season after he worked through his own stuff. God came to him and said, you know what? You're going to take care of a son that you didn't even father. You're going to use your talents, your treasures, your time to train him, to teach him to be a carpenter, to get him ready for life. You're going to do all of that, and use all of you to serve me and do my will. And Joseph got to it. Mike talked about that. Time, talent, and treasures. One of the keys to being content in your season of life is whatever season you're in, how are you using your time, talents, and treasures to serve God? Even when the season, I'm just going to say it plainly, guys, sucks. Can you get up in the morning, be fired up? You may not like it. I'm going to be real now. I ain't saying you're walking around there clicking your heels. Hey, that's that Orange Theory boy. I told you now. So I get it. You may not like it, but you can be content. So are we using those three T's, time, talent, and treasures, to serve God in whatever season we are in? There's a season of plenty, and there's a season of pruning. Both, amen, sister. Both of those seasons are a part of the growth process with God. The question is, can we be content in one season to the next? Sometimes we can be content when we have little. You know, it's easy to say, man, you know what? I don't have much now, but I can hope that I will get that. And I used to be that way before I became a disciple. I went through my life and all my training in medical school and getting the job and all that stuff. It was always, well, what's next? I would get that next thing and be like, well, what's next? And I would say, God, if you just give me this one thing, everything will be great. So what is your blank? What is that thing that you're saying, God, if you just give this to me, it'll be great. Everything will be solved. For me, it was my career. So when I got to the end of the career road, finished all the training, got the job with the salary and all that stuff, I was still empty, and I still wanted more. Some people may think that once I get that thing, I'll be content. Everything will be squared away. I'm here to tell you that you can get and muster all you want to. You can have salary, house, job, relationship, status. You can get it all. If you don't have Jesus, you will be empty. Amen. I've been there. Tasha and I lived that in 2010 to 2012. We thought we have arrived. We got nowhere. It got worse because there was no Jesus. We had everything, but we were worse until we found Jesus in 2012. Yes, sister, it's been great for 8 years. Woo, Lord Jesus. Revolutionary. So if you think that you get your blank, you will be content, that is a lie that Satan is telling you. Write this next one down. I'm good because I remember to rejoice. Yes. This is where we are going to finish out. We are going to finish out the year rejoicing because Jesus was born and he brought freedom. Paul just said in verse 4, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Then he comes back in verse 19. And 16 in that section, and says it again. Verse 10, he says, I greatly rejoice. Why does Paul have to mention it so frequent? In a sec, we're not even talking about the book. We're talking about a chapter, 6 verses, because we're very forgetful. We have to remember to rejoice in Jesus. Amen. That's the only way. God set that up in the Old Testament. That's why he had all those festivals and time of recognition so they would remember. Now, y'all know I love to wear my little Scully caps. I love it. When it gets cold, I love to wear them. Now, I got a bunch of Georgia Tech ones, so that's no problem. But I have very few dress ones without all the college stuff on there. And so when I wear them to church, I put it down because I'm moving around. I'm doing a lot of stuff. Man, I have forgot 5 beanies up in this place right now. 5. That's what, Sean, I was talking to Angel. Angel said, boy, will you go the school, dog? I'm sure your head is warm right about now because all the kids got my beanies, must be. We can be very forgetful. But one thing we cannot forget is what Jesus has done for us. Yeah. How he has blessed us. How he has kept us. Yeah. Selective memory. We want to bring forward what we want. Satan tells us, bring forward all the failure. Bring forward all the discontentment. Bring forward all the disillusion. See, God has given us some movie editing software. Keegan can back me up on this. Called the Final Cut. So as you look at your life in 2019, you're going to put that thing together with different scenes that have happened. Some good, some not so good. So we can selectively bring forward the ones that God has done amazing things. That final cut is, hey, we're going to decide which ones are going to go up on the big screen. God has given us the ability to do that. Satan is trying to go the opposite direction with it. He wants you to bring all the junk with you. There's a place for that, but we don't need to bring that into where we need to rejoice for God. We need to think about what God has done for us. Man, think about this year, 2019, and write down just 3 things that you have to rejoice for God. I know you got 3 because he's our God. He gave us Jesus and his son's blood so that we can be here in freedom. So what would it look like if we crush all those bad memories and we just bring forth all the rejoicing ones? Where are my rejoicers at this morning? That's how we need to be content, is when we remember to rejoice. We have to celebrate and be excited about what God has done for us. Why? Paul tells us in verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. As we go through life playing let's make a deal, because we do it all day long, we have decisions that we have to make, we have to count the costs, and we have to be good with those decisions. As we do that, let's make sure that we are rejoicing in what God has done. Because he provides all of our needs. It doesn't say 50%. It doesn't say 75%. It says all of our needs. And it starts with what we've done here at the Path in 2019, which is trust the process. As we trust the process, God will provide all of our needs, regardless of what decisions we may make. Amen. What would it look like for all of us to be content during this holiday season and moving into 2020? For this last week, I want you to take those 3 things, and each day I want you to rejoice in what God has done. Just rejoice and say, thank you, God, for those 3 things. 1 week of rejoicing is what I call the church to do. As we go into 2020 and we're waiting for that breakthrough. I understand the holidays can be emotional. I understand that things may not have panned out exactly like we wanted them to in 2019. The job may not have gotten to where you wanted it to be. The marriage may be a little bit rocky right now. The children may be acting out a little bit and all over the place. Financially, you may be figuring out how is it going to happen next month. But what we can rest in is that God gave us freedom. And because of his son, we can be free. We can have amazingly more than what we ask or imagine. And that should move our hearts to contentment. Because we are good with Jesus. Say, I'm good because I'm free. I'm good because I'm free. Glory to God. Let's pray for the communion. Holy God, we are thankful for who you are, God. Father, you have given us freedom through your son, Jesus. Father, we have learned that the blood that was spilled was especially for each and every one of us. Me personally, and I ask my brothers and sisters here to take it personal as well. Father, you have given us freedom, God, so that we can be content in wherever you place us, Father. During this holiday season, let us think about giving. Let us be just full of joy, God, and rejoice in the presence of your holy name. God, you are our horn of salvation. You are our refuge, Father. There is no one outside of you. God, as we take the cracker and the juice that represents the body and blood of your son, let our hearts be filled with contentment. In your holy son's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We would love for you to contribute to our mission by donating to the Kabi Padu Next Gen Fund. By contributing to this fund, you invest in the training and mobilizing of the next generation of changemakers. If you would like to learn more about The Path, visit www.thepath.church.